Okay, why don't we get started? If you haven't gotten a card, it's because we ran short and there are more on their way. If you bring that card to booth 608, we'll hook you up with a t-shirt later on this afternoon. So we thought we would take a different slant at a panel because we can. And we are going to conduct an exercise in group mobile blogging with some of the best mobile bloggers out there today. So I am going to let our panelists introduce themselves. We're really lucky to have Jeremiah Aoyang, Chris Hewer, Leora Zellman, Chris Brogan, and special late guest Roxanne Darling joining us. And after they're done introducing themselves, I'm going to just quickly split up the room into a few groups. Each panelist is going to take a group of you, and you are going to go mobile blog. Go out in the halls, go on the streets, go do whatever you want to do. They're going to give you some insights on the way they use these tools. They're going to show you how to use them if you don't already know, and just generally have some fun. Then we're going to come back here with like 10 or 15 minutes left to go, and we'll do a little show and tell and talk about any lessons learned, and there might just be a couple prizes of unspeakable value at the end. So without further ado.
It's okay that my group goes to drink beer?
Is yes.
That fine?
Okay. Beer and mobile blogging go very well together. Dangerous, that's but very dangerous. Well together. Yeah. What's that?
Yes.
So I'll just start here and go down.
Hey, I'm Jeremiah with Forrester Research. I cover social computing, so these tools, I get to play with them. I use Twitter a lot. I probably broke 4,000 followers today, I think, and I integrate it with all the other types of communications I do. People have criticized me for tweeting too much, so I ran a poll on my blog just 2 days ago. I said, do I tweet too much? And there was like 80 responses, and 95% of them said, keep on doing it. The content's fine. Now, how do I use this tool? I link to anything that I think is interesting. So you'll see lots of URLs to stuff, around the social media world. So it's like a filter for people. And then I use Udders as well, because it has really strong, you can tell more emotion with voice and audio. So I'll call the Udders number, and then I'll embed that in my blog, and it just adds a little bit of dynamic to that. And then I use my Nokia N95. I take pictures. So you notice I don't have a laptop here at South by Southwest. I'm just going totally mobile with this device. I can do just about everything I need to do. Manage my blog, deal with Twitter, take photos, upload to Flickr immediately. So it's really about this mobile thing, just from this one device. Chris.
Hello, I'm Chris Hewer. And I'm with the Conversation Group. And actually, Chris Brogan introduced me to Sim and the guys at Udders back at Blog World Expo and told me what they did. And I immediately fell in love and started using it. After about a month, I convinced them to hire me to help them a little bit with some of their marketing and some of the other activities. But the reason why I wanted to tell you about why I love it is because I have a problem getting content out. I can't produce all the great stuff that I run across through the course of the day. And I'd been looking for something, particularly for podcasting, for a long time that would let me just call in from my phone and get a piece of audio out onto the web. I'm very fortunate with the people that I get to run around in, that I get to meet great people all the time at these different conferences, and I get a chance to ask them some really important questions that I'm really trying to find out more about to dive deeper into their story and what they're doing. Just the other night, I met Peter Mierholtz again, who I've seen around for a long time. Peter Mierholtz is the guy who changed weblog to blog. So we got a little interview with him for 5 minutes up on my site and through Udders, talking about the whole story of how that came about and what he thinks about the state of blogging today. Now, if I had actually done that interview with a notepad and tried to capture that and do the blog post, it still wouldn't be online because I don't have that time to go back later and do all that post-production, to do the writing, to get it all together. So with Udders, what I'm able to do is grab a really sharp interview very quickly and get it right out onto the web within 10 minutes. And that's why I love the service so much, and that's where I focus a lot of my efforts. Tell you one other quick thing is that for a while it became so easy to do. I was doing a lot of what I call nasal gaving and really just general stuff that I was doing. And, over time we get that kind of flow and that experience of what it is that works for us and what doesn't. We listen to the people who are consuming our content, interacting with us, find out what's important. But I also had some health issues and I had a lot of moblogging on that from the emergency room right after getting a CAT scan done recently. And through that, I had 3 friends who I've known for a long time who actually came to me and said, I went through the same experience. And if I hadn't actually had done that, they never would have told me. I never would have been able to share that. So it's also about that real human connection from telling and sharing those stories.
I think Chris is one of the most prolific Udders users. He uses it with the image and the audio. He really does a good job. The best practice to watch him.
I'm Leora Zellman, and I've been a professional blogger for 3 years. And I think my udder's claim to fame is that I went to Fashion Week at the beginning of February, and I was uttering, doing video straight from the runways and posting the runway shows right there. So that was pretty exciting. And I love udders. I've been using it since Blog World Expo, since I met Sim and the team. And it's just a great tool, and I'm a real evangelist for using udders.
I'm Chris Brogan, and I'm an amateur blogger. And I was using udders from the runways at Logan Airport, and it was less sexy. I will be really honest. The majority of the times I use udders, it's when I'm stuck in traffic and I'm pissed off. The majority of my udders are a picture of all the traffic in front of me on the road that I go to work every single day. And then I'll normally talk about something that might have my attention. I have an hour and a half to 2 hour commute every day. And though one wouldn't necessarily advocate making a phone call and talking all the time while you're driving, it's a lot better than when I tweet and drive. So the lesson here is that you can use a device to get back some of your time and continue to make media. And if you put some thought into it, you can use that time creatively instead of sitting around listening to the Carpenters.
The Carpenters, huh?
Don't you remember you told me about it?
I'm sorry, there's no rock karaoke here right now.
Rox, do you want to introduce yourself real quickly?
Come on, Rox.
I'm Roxanne Darling, and I'm the host of a daily internet TV show called Beach Walks with Rox. It's filmed from the beaches of Hawaii, with a few people nodding their heads. Thank you. And I have a beautiful dog. We share aloha. And so, you know, one of the main things for us living out in Hawaii, which is the pico of the universe, the navel of the universe, we are the farthest landmass from anywhere else. And so it's really important for me to be connected for our business and both personally with other people and other professionals. And through Twitter and through udders, I have that ability to really be part of the discussion when I can't be face-to-face having all these great meetups in New York and L.A. and San Francisco and the rest of it. So for me, udders, I'm on the computer all of the time. And there are lots of things I want to communicate, but I am so burned out with typing and with filming and with video editing. And so udders allows me to basically put something into the discussion, answer a question, pose a question. And it's very low tech. Yesterday I was walking on the street and I felt like connecting. And so I just got out my phone. I have a speed dial button set for my udders account. And while I was walking, I could post an udders, which then I have my udders configured to automatically post that to Twitter and into my udders circle. And so the technology is amazing that it will do so much of the work for us now if we just do that first step and create an account.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the intro, guys. So why don't we break, and I'm just going to split you up real quick and come back, guys, at by about a quarter after four.
Should we take questions?
Oh, do we have any questions, or should we? Yeah, we have questions. Okay.
Do people know what the assignment is?
No?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to split.
I'm
going to. You want to go for it?
All right, so this is an interactive session. Instead of all of you sitting there and all of us talking at you, the time now we're going to break up into small groups, wander the halls, record some udders. If you have an account that you just set up in the last few minutes, you can experiment. If you don't, Chris does a great job of interviewing, doing shows, actually, with his wife, Christy, where the two of them pass the phone back and forth. So anybody that wants to sort of join my cabal, we can use my phone and my udders account and record something, and then we'll all reconvene here at what time?
Let's say quarter after four, we'll do a little show and tell of lessons learned and any interesting content, and we'll give away some prizes, and then you guys can come to booth 608 and we can answer any more questions and give demos and all that fun stuff. Can udders users please raise their hands? And
so
how many Twitter users
also,
are in the house? Okay, so between the two, we're fine.
Well.
Great. There you go. Okay. So why don't we do just the first few rows go with Rox? Is that? All right, Brogan's got the back. I don't know about that.
I'll go middle.
Jeremiah's going to grab a bunch of you. Chris, grab the second two-thirds, and Leora, we'll grab some people.
This should be.
Is it the
same? Yeah.
Whatever. Dallas.
No, it's just a 20-minute deal. Okay, let's head out.
Back in, we're going to do a little bit of a show and tell. What you all went out there and mobile blogged and discovered about it, and the things that you captured. So, I think Mr. Brogan, is your laptop controlling the screen there?
Sure.
I think it might be.
Yes. What shall I do?
Why don't you pull up some of your group's Udders and Twitters, and if there were any highlights from your experiences out there mobile blogging that you wanted to share.
Your circle's big, isn't it?
What was that?
Your circle is big.
My circle is big.
It's not the size of your circle. What's that?
It's how you use
it. How do I find me?
So did anybody discover anything that they want to talk about? Any insights on mobile blogging? Any special content? Any aha moments about what they might do with... the tools?
Go up to the mic over there.
Yeah, there's a mic right behind you, so everybody can hear.
Two things. If you're introducing someone to this, the most important thing is to remember to push the on button when you start your interview, so or else you won't have it recorded. And the second thing, sounds obvious, but and the second thing is to learn how to speak shortly, to ask questions very shortly. And get the other person to talk.
Thanks, Ms.
Well, I think Mark just learned that last part in his interview. But so my aha moment was that we actually got out there and did something instead of just talked about it. And this whole weekend has become fun for me now. So it was just seeing how it actually goes in practice. Yeah.
There's and a few more so, parties going on, too.
What? What?
A few more parties going on, too.
Okay. So anyway, I just want to say it just got fun for me, and it really started to make sense. So thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
you.
Flying cows.
So am I supposed to stop?
Are you...
am I supposed to send my next utter? So we had a bunch of questions and conversations. I guess my titling effort didn't work. I broke it. We'll play our message.
You do have a tendency to break things.
Though. I break things.
My question is what you're saying about your sort of mantra about creating a community space.
Shanna, Karen, Ariel, Angela, and Emily, whom I follow on Twitter. We're going to talk just a little bit about this keynote, so said, interview with Mr. Mark Zuckerberg. So instead of the people who interviewed Mark Zuckerberg the first time, we have our questions. So my first question, let my people go. When can I hit the export button on my friends and get my friends out into the wild? That's my question.
Great. No, but I think there's something to say. The fact that conducting the interview, I think it was allowed all of the people there to ask more questions. Maybe she had a little bit too much familiarity with Mark and was basically, and
was glossing over a lot of things that people would have liked to tell more deeply if you hadn't given more than a 5-minute opportunity. My question is about what you're saying about your sort of mantra about creating a community space that's going to enable great global changes in the world. And I guess I was wondering, you know, based on what I see on Facebook and what my friends are doing, I don't really see any, like, real conversation happening about political issues and deep thoughts, that sort of thing. I see pictures of people singing karaoke, and that's about, you know, that's basically what I've been posting. So I was wondering, you know, I know you were talking about what the uses were in Colombia.
I'll cut it just a little bit. We had a lot of good questions, but what we ended up doing is we wrote a message to Mark Zuckerberg about the keynote, which is my team's idea. I had no idea. That was really clever. But we asked questions that we'd have asked instead of the person who did the interview. So who do we want to move to?
Part of that can be done in the way that you configure your Udders account, so that if you add your blog login details to your Udders account, then when you submit your Udders, you know, when you've recorded it, it can automatically post to your blog for you.
So I had some findings. I'll just jump in here. Mm-hmm. I had a really interesting group. Raise your hand if you're in my group. All right. It was a mixture of people from the real estate industry that this is something that impacts realtors. I had journalists here, somebody from New York Times, and then Jemima Kiss from the Register in UK. And these are pretty heavy hitter folks. Now, these tools are, there's two things that we figured out. There's a lot of interesting things here, but there's also limitations. So I asked the folks, you know, what are some of the weaknesses? And, you know, these tools are not high quality tools. So it's interesting to see how the mainstream folks are using this. And the second thing is, with everybody producing a lot of content, how do we figure out what's the good stuff? So there's still going to be some of those things we'll have to figure out as a team.
We had in our group some really interesting discussions around the role of video. And I appreciate the challenges, because for me, it's always been about whether or not, you know, is there something happening that I need to see versus what I need to hear? And for a lot of the interviews, the audio content is enough, but there are people who want to see the face, want to see the emotion. I think that's an important lesson. And really, it is about trying to figure out who are the people that you're talking to. And what do they care about? What do they want to have? So that how can they consume? Did you run into that a little bit?
A little bit.
What was your take on that?
it was really interesting how we ran into Robert Scoble while we were out there. And you were interviewing him with your phone, and he was complaining about how audio is not as good as video. So then I took out my phone and I started videotaping him, and I uttered the video. Ha ha. Just while he was saying it.
Yeah.
So what does everybody think? Some people say that's wrong. Is video better than audio?
Who prefers video out here in the crowd? Who would prefer video always on that? And it depends. Yeah. And where are they consuming?
Where are they?
Yeah.
Are they multitasking?
Are they?
Are they driving? You know.
You can use that with the service. I'm notoriously bad at getting it in the right speed.
Let me just repeat that for those of you in the back who might not have heard it. Joe was pointing out that it is important to actually add maybe a paragraph or so of text with it for those people who want to understand the context of the content. Is what is in that video? What is in that piece of audio? What happened that made that photo interesting to share that more? The other piece of that is, as with tags, it makes it more discoverable. So the text also makes more people be able to find it. So the question becomes whether or not it's something I'm trying to get out right away, or if it's something that I can capture now and then publish later. Many times I'll actually not have my auto posting turned on, where, like right now, everything I write just shows up on my blog, on my Twitter, and elsewhere right away. But I'll go back later and I'll add more to it. I'll add the links in. I'll add in more texture. And then other times I actually even go back in after I've already published something, and I'll actually add that text, add the links, add the other bit in, and then I'll repost it and delete the prior post. So that way I actually, you know, can color more texture in the back. And then
consider going to the mic, friends. Also.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. And then. Thanks, Sim.
Sure.
Just keep it that way.
We're trying.
Chris, you're going to say something?
Oh, wait.
I'm sorry. In the front and then...
Yeah, there's Johnny and then I've been to...
Well, one of the things I hear a lot from Udders users that I talk to, and Eric Rice was probably one of the first ones who pointed this out to me, is how many regular people are on there talking about, you know, regular stuff. It's not all this, you know, it's not all tech, it's not all politics, it's actually a mixture. And it really represents kind of everyday population. And it's good to get in touch with that a lot.
I did want to say one quick thing. We can get that question. Sponsored session or not, every time we say Udders, also think Twitter, also think Pounce, also think Jaiku, also think mobile platforms. Because we do want to, Seismic, we could talk that differently. But yes, I mean, that's in that space. So, I mean, we are talking about mobile blogging, but, you know, it is a sponsored panel by our friends at Udders. So, but also, you had a question. Say it nice and loud, too.
Yes.
Absolutely. Grab the RSS and throw it on your iPod and go crazy, for sure.
Yeah, and that is actually a great way to it is all subscribable, so very easy to do.
Over at the mic.
Where I've seen that this is that Udders and other services like this are going to be beneficial, as a journalist, we're looking for breaking news opportunities, and I think back to this huge warehouse fire we had covered a couple of months ago in San Antonio. I can just imagine my reporters and my videographers taking pictures on their cell phones, interviewing people on the spot. That way we get the information out there early. Now, we talked about the technological problems with that. And yeah, you can't get much in 2 minutes. But with that information, you can then tell your viewers, here we are. We're getting the information you need. Come back and see us as soon as, you know, the 5 o'clock show starts, the 6 p.m. show starts, or come see us at our website. And that's what I am really interested in, digging deeper into this and finding out the benefits of it.
Can anybody tell me who felt fairly empowered just being able to use something that you just push two on your phone? Did that kind of work for you? Did you dig that? It's a whole different world than the deal of having, like when we talked podcasting 2.5 years ago, it was how much gear you had and how much the mic cost and how do you stand away from the mic and all that. Push two. It doesn't always sound the best. You can do it anywhere.
I was also going to add, you know, one of the things we talked about in our group was that you can use this for your family. You can have private Udders. You can have public Udders. My mom's going through some health problems right now, and my sisters don't really type or blog, and we all live in 4 different locations. So I'm setting up an Udders account, so whenever anyone takes my mom to the doctor, all they can have to do is call in and give the report. We've got an archive of that. It's easy for everyone to listen to. There are just infinite number of uses once you start thinking about how do you want to communicate to people, what's a really fast way, using a device, in this case the phone, that people are already very, very familiar and comfortable with and have on hand at any time.
It's not as techie as blogging or Twitter. Right. That's very interesting.
Sure. I think the whole concept behind Udders itself is that we built it so that it will work on any cell phone, on any carrier, on any network. So whether you have the fanciest iPhone or BlackBerry in your pocket, or you have a prepaid phone from Boost Mobile, you have access to a mobile social network. And whether that's on the most primitive level or on the most advanced level of high-def video and mobile posting. Sure. I mean, certainly we talk to those companies all the time, working with them explicitly to have a solution for Verizon or a solution for T-Mobile. Not today, no. Not yet.
That was my breakfast up there, actually.
Yeah.
If you haven't had Migas yet and you're here in Austin, you're missing out on something. So try the Migas.
I want to take one more question, and then I just want to just hang on for 30 seconds afterwards. One of the things that we believe in as a company and is just important to me personally is if you have any feedback the way this panel went, how we could replicate this, because this is just an experiment. We just thought we'd have some fun. If this was successful for you, or you want to tell me something about how to make it better, or how to make Udders better, even better, I would really appreciate that. So thanks.
You have one more at the mic?
Yeah.
Thanks. So I work with nonprofits, and one of the things we're talking about all the time is reinforcing the idea of community. You know, we've got communities, and how do we make them feel more community? And I work with nonprofits in technology. So our thing is, how do we use technology to do that? And the problem with that is that technology usually is hard for people, and this certainly overcomes a lot of that. So I wondered, have you seen any good examples of how people are using Udders, I think, as we were just talking about, to build a sense of community, to bring people together in a way that, you know, we can't just through blog posts or, you know, the typey stuff.
Sure. Do you guys have any examples of how you personally have used it that way? Or
I've personally been very affected by Udders. I've made some really amazing friends through Udders. So I've posted things and then people will comment. And it's really neat. That's one of my favorite parts about Udders, is that people comment and you have these long conversations. And you can actually respond to an Udder with another Udder. You can call in your response. You can also do a video as a response and all that. But so I've made some really amazing friends, and working from home, being a blogger, you don't get out much and you don't have real life friends. So having this online community of people who are very supportive, and they'll listen to your rant about how, you know, your breakfast sucked, and they'll respond. It's amazing.
One of the other communities that it's been heartwarming for me is the visually impaired community have started to come out and realize that this is a connection that they can use from anywhere. It's audio. It's on their phone. They can listen to the text on their phone. They can listen to movie audio. They can listen to the audio that people are calling in, and they can connect with each other. So that's been incredible to see. And, you know, one of those things that you don't even think of, but just happens. So.
I did a micromedia event where I had everybody at a particular time get online, and we discussed the future of micromedia. Did anybody participate in that? Okay, you did. And there was like, I think, 40 responses, and people could either tweet or use Udders to do it. And it became a conversation. It was really fascinating later, is I could dial in from my phone and listen to all the responses and how everybody thought the future, you know, in different ways. So it's a really interesting way to have conversations asynchronously when you want to listen to it. So it's a different type of consumption.
I just wanted to show one other thing that actually Johnny Goldstein right here did. He did a haiku project. I'm actually not going to pull it up because it's over there and I can't find it, but it was incredible. He challenged everyone, his circle of friends, to come and leave a haiku in response to his own. And then he took that over, what was it, 4 week, five?
Yeah,
the month of February. And then he took all of those haikus and made a very impressive blog post of that. And if you go to, it's johnnygoldstein.com. It's awesome. I mean, just listening to this.
It isn't. Damn, I always get that wrong. Yeah. Sorry, Johnny. Johnny Stein.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's another question.
I do a social marketing in music world.
Yeah.
And I love this medium. It's really cool. But music labels tend to, in their marketing, control what the artists do, or, you know, how they sound off in the world. How, like, for instance, we have an artist, DMX, And it would very much scare our label to just give him a camera and say, anytime you want to tell the world whatever you can.
Yeah.
How do I go to my label and tell them, how do we work this in where it's, we're still protected that they're not going to make fools of themselves, but at the same time, use it as a valuable marketing tool?
We should talk after. I worked with DMX. My background is in the music industry doing international marketing for RCA Records and Island Def Jam. So I've thought a lot about how artists can leverage this. And there are certainly a lot of things that we could do for artists so that we could have moderated udders. And so that actually a lot of, I think a lot of politicians, just my personal opinion, a lot of politicians, a lot of artists look at these tools and are very scared of them because they think they're live and they think that they're unfiltered. But in reality, if you work with a celebrity, if you work with a public figure, this is actually the most controlled way, to seem genuine, but to actually take all the time you want to think about what you're going to say, to get the approvals that you need to get, but to come across as, whoa, Barack Obama just uttered to me. Like, that's insane. That's so off the cuff. That's so crazy. But in fact, he can sit around as long as he wants. DMX can sit around as long as he would, as long as he wants, and think about what he's going to say and what's going to be on video. So definitely we should talk afterwards.
If you know D, he doesn't really think before. Yeah.
My favorite D line to me was I went to go and propose a partnership with him, a duet with Mariah Carey, and he just looked at me and said, "Real dogs sniff blood," and just walked away.
and with that,
have a great afternoon, everybody.
Thank you all for participating.